Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. And my next guest is also all about the bees, Kevin Dundon of Dunbrody House. You're very, very welcome.
It's great to be here. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, they really matter, don't they?
They're hugely important. And in fact, bees are responsible for 70% of everything we eat in the world.
What percent?
70. It's unbelievable. So it's and it's so important when people talk about honey. It's so important to eat the local honey. So honey that's in your immediate area, because that will give you the immunities that you require for the local bugs around, for flus that are around your area and stuff like that.
Do you have any down in Dunbrody?
Yeah, we have, I think it's 8 hives. So we would produce quite a bit of honey, and then we'd make mead out of the honey for some of the dishes in the kitchen as well. So we're all about honey.
We're all about honey. But you're not here to talk about honey today, because you're here to talk about winter vegetables, notwithstanding, as we heard earlier with Katie Hannon, the rather mild weather that we've been having.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, it's great when you... I love talking about vegetables, and I love talking about food that are produced organically throughout the year. So, and it's like when we talk about winter vegetables, there's a reason why we eat a lot of root vegetables during the winter, is because A, they're in season, and B, the reason why they're grown in the wintertime is that they're full of carbohydrates. So it's
the right ones.
The right ones. So, well, there's a bit of starch in them as well, but it's slow release carbs, which gives you the energy, and there's high sugar content in them as well. It gives you the energy that we all require during the colder months of the year. So, you can't go wrong with them. It's so easy to cook is the other bonus thing to do. And it's like there's a new movement called Forward Vegetables, which is a movement of making our vegetable dishes more interesting.
So root vegetables, everything below the ground.
Yeah, everything. Well, yeah. It is. Not really. So it is. Yeah, it's probably easier just to say that. But like if you look...
What are we talking about?
So if you look at beetroots, for example, carrots, parsnips, you know, even the squashes are root vegetables. But it's... So if you look at... if we talk about something that we all love, and that's a carrot. So if the carrot is coming out of the ground, it's so sweet and tender. And what I normally do is I wouldn't even peel them if they're coming out of the ground, because they don't have much of a skin on them at all. I would literally leave the top of the head on it, so a little bit of the stem, and then cut it lengthways down in half, put them into a pot, and just like a half an inch of water in the bottom of the pot, and a good knob of butter, and a good old honey, drizzle of honey on top. Put a lid on and bring that to the boil and let it simmer and let it cook in its own juices. So all the nutrients are staying within the juices. The water will actually start to evaporate, and they take about 4 to 5 minutes to cook, and you got a beautiful, sweet carrot. And that's kind of the way I like to cook vegetables throughout the year. So even like now with the carrots, chards, so you have a lot of chards in the garden, so you could shred those, so really, really thinly cut, and just when the carrots are cooked and you're taking it off the stove, just throw them into the pot and they'll wilt down, so they won't overcook and they won't change the colour of the water.
And what do you have in the kitchen garden down at the moment?
So we have chards, we have a lot of beetroot, too much beetroot, but we'll get through it with chutneys. But parsnips, a lot of squash, and we have tunnels as well. So we have all our microgreens, which are cooked. And microgreens kind of give a lovely freshness to root vegetables as well.
My colleague, Brian Lally, who's working with us today, he was very keen for me to make sure that we don't malign the good old turnip.
I love the turnip. I absolutely love turnip. So, but there's so many different ways that you can cook a turnip. So,
they're a bit unloved, aren't they?
Yeah, but when you cook, you can fall in love with them so easy again. So that's what's great about them. So if you get your turnip, peel it down. So it's quite a thick skin on it. So make sure that you take that full layer off, and then you can cube them into small dices. Cook them exactly the way I explained to cook your carrots. So a little bit of water, lots of butter, and salt and pepper. Even a little bit of cinnamon in there would be really nice. And cook them and they get really soft. The other way to do it is to mix them with your carrots and your turnips and parsnips. And boil them all together and mash them. And then when they're all mashed together, just before you serve them, just put like loads of butter into it. I love butter.
Yeah. I picked up on that. I think that was a trick my mother used to get us to do it. Along with peas, I have a childhood aversion to beets. Right, and but there's, why do we have a glut of them at the minute, or what do you do with them if there's too much?
Well, there's loads of things you can do with beets. Beets are amazing. So it's like at the moment we're fermenting a lot of our vegetables. So whether that's the skin of the beetroot that you ferment, or the beetroot itself, and pickling is fantastic. So, and it's great to brighten up your salads. So if you're doing a winter salad with a beetroot to it, is really, really good. So the best way to do is to boil your beetroot with the skin on, and the skin literally just falls off when they're cooked. Then you can dice them or you can slice them, and then if you put them into vinegar, brown sugar, mustard seed, juniper berry. No butter in that one, funny enough. But when I cook with them, so if I'm doing a lovely, like this time of year, lovely piece of monkfish, so pan-seared monkfish on the pan, so it's got a nice and golden brown, and it's just looking delicious, nappied with butter on top, and then a spoon of beetroot chutney on top. Wow,
Kevin,
amazing.
A bit of butter, Dundon. Talk to me about, we will put the recipes up, but you've got a winter root Wellington that looks absolutely amazing. I'd say if I put money myself, I would still end up with soggy pastry. So how do you avoid that?
Yeah, so the soggy pastry is a thing. So basically you prepare your vegetables. So in this case, we're using squashes, and we're using squashes and carrots. So they're cubed and cooked in water, taken off, and then with onions and garlic in a pan, we saute them so they get nice and caramelized on the outside. It's really important at this stage that you cool that mixture down. So make sure it's cold in the fridge. And then you roll out your puff pastry, or you buy the pre-rolled puff pastry. And make sure, the trick is to make sure your oven is at temperature before it goes into the oven.
Okay.
So it's at 100.
It has to be ready very hot.
Yeah, so 200 degrees. Put your pastry out, roll your vegetables in there. And if you've got chard, a bit of chard thrown through that as well. Even mushrooms are really delicious in it. Roll it up. And then give it 2 coats of egg wash. So so you're doing egg wash. So it kind of looks yellow on the outside. Goes into the oven after about 7 minutes. Take it out and give it another brush with more egg wash. And you get that lovely deep golden brown colour. And you won't get a soggy bottom.
And you won't get so. What about kale? It's another kind of one of those unloved ones.
Kale? Well, I don't know if it's unloved. It's kale.
I like it.
I love
like it.
Yeah. So it's like, well, kale kind of goes back to a very traditional dish here in Ireland, Kilkenny mash. So lovely butter and mashed potato. And then, but I think with a lot of like cabbages, kales and stuff like that, I think we were used to them being overcooked. And I think if you, undercooked, but if you cook them correctly, so there's like 7 minutes in boiling, so there's still a bit of crunch to it. There's a completely different taste profile on it. And it's just like, you're tasting the kale. It's not bitter, and it's delicious. Really good with fish, really, really good. And pork.
Well, listen, we're going to put all the recipes up, and we'll let them know that they might need to put a bit of extra butter into the shop and this weekend. But Kevin Dundon of Dunbrody House, thank you very, very much.